Thank you very much for tuning in and spending your evening or morning with me. I'm Dave Schrader, your host this evening, sitting in for George Norrie, my guest this hour, Jeff Belanger, as we discuss the possibilities of time travel. Does it happen? Is it a real possibility or probability? We're discussing all of these different concepts and having a great time doing it. We'll open up phone lines in a little bit. If you've had a weird, out of place, out of time experience that you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you as well. So phone lines will be open in about a half an hour. Before the break, we were talking about consciousness and time travel and how time can be perceived. Our guest, Jeff Belanger, is going to put test of time together in March of 2017 as he scales Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, 19,341 feet. He's going to be climbing that mountain to help raise awareness for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And we could use your help if you'd like to help him out and sponsor this. You could donate $19.34. That's one penny for every 10 feet that he climbs. And this money will go to help people and patients that need these cures and will need these groundbreaking therapies. You can go. It's a 501c3 donation. Just go to darknessradio.com. And you'll see the banner with Mount Kilimanjaro. Click on the banner. You can go in, read more about Jeff's quest to help the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. And he will be climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. So be a part of his time travel journey and make a donation. Any size would help out and go a great way to help out with cancer research and making sure that patients in need get that well-funded help. That's going to be a real moment in time. I wonder how long it's going to feel while you're climbing that mountain, Jeff. Have you put that concept of time together in your head already?
I have given that some thought, Dave. I've been doing a lot of practice hikes in the White Mountains of New Hampshire and things like that. And it's, it's a thing when you're doing something physical like that, that you do kind of lose track of time. You get focused on just the next step, the next step, the next step, and life gets real simple. I think that's one of the things I like about hiking so much, is that it's just me and the mountain, and my only objective is to just put my foot in front of the other, stay focused, not get hurt, not fall down, and get to the top. But as mountain people will tell you, that's only halfway there. You don't have to just get to the top. You have to also get all the way down. And so that's some of the things I think about. And when I'm on the mountain, when I'm on Kilimanjaro, all I'm going to concentrate on is just the next step, until I get to the top. And with so many people supporting me, I know that's going to really push me on. When the going gets tough, when my body's tired, I will stay focused because I don't want to let anyone down.
Well, and again, I thank you very much for doing this. That's a Herculean task to climb a mountain, Mount Kilimanjaro, and putting yourself out there to the elements, the wildlife, and the experience itself. And people will be able to follow you on your website. I want to talk about the consciousness concept of time travel. You know, I was mentioning before the break, you know, I had a car accident about, 15 years ago. My son was in the car with me. About 13, 14 years old, and I was driving him up to his mother's house for the weekend, and we hit a patch of glare ice. During rush hour, our car started to spin uncontrollably on the highway, cars whipping past us, and it was a very brief amount of time. I would be willing to bet it was less than 10 to 15 seconds, but I remember calmly having this conversation with my son. And I put my hand against his chest and I turned to him and I said, I'm really sorry, son. This is going to hurt. And he just looked at me and he said, no, Dad, it's not your fault. It's bad weather. You know, we had no way of knowing there was going to be ice there. And we had this, what felt like a prolonged conversation that would have taken minutes. And it was all within the scope of a brief few seconds. But as we spun, things seemed to be going by us at blinding speeds. But the spin itself and the entire event played out feeling like it took minutes and minutes of time to actually occur. Is there any understanding from physics or science on how that consciousness ripple is being affected? Why in that moment of heightened anxiety and fear, does it seem time slows down to this almost immeasurable, degree?
There's a really good physiological and evolutionary reason for that, Dave. The hippocampus in our brain is what's responsible for storing long-term memory. in the amygdala, which is right next to the hippocampus, releases adrenaline when we're in fight or flight. Now, when your car is spinning out of control, you can bet that you're now in fight or flight. You're afraid. You're really scared, and you don't know what's going to happen to you. And so your body and your mind, everything is getting ready. The reason you perceive time slowing down is because your brain is trying to hyper-record everything that's happening in that moment. Because if you survive, being able to pass that information along will make you, your offspring, and so on, better suited for the future. This goes back thousands and thousands of years, long before the automobile and so on. If you're walking through a jungle and you fall into some pit and tigers are circling around you, time is going to slow down for you because you need to make decisions and you need to react and you need to remember. Because if you do survive it, that information is crucial for your offspring and so on. And so our brains will naturally do this. Our consciousness is incredible. It can make things slow down. It can make things speed up. That is the key to time travel. That's the key to perceiving different time periods in our world, I'm convinced. And the reason for that is because of an experiment that that has been done. You know, consciousness is faster than light. And that's the thing that bears repeating. Faster than light travel, it forever was believed to be impossible. Light speed was supposed to be the universal speed limit. But our consciousness is faster than light. In fact, it's instantaneous. And faster than light, just to blow your mind for a minute, I know you're a football guy like me. Imagine standing on an end zone line looking at a football field, and you're looking at the opposite end zone, and there's a running back with the ball who's about to start running at you. If that running back could run at you faster than light, he would be in front of you before he appeared to have left. You with me?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. If he could run faster than light, he's already in front of you before you saw him leave. That would bend the old brain, wouldn't it?
Yeah, certainly.
So let me tell you about an experiment that was done by Dean Radin, and it was done.
All right, we'll do that, but we're up against a break. Let's talk about that experiment with time when we return. You're listening to Jeff Belanger, my guest here on Coast to Coast AM. Experiments in time. You were just about ready to tell us about Dean Radin and an experiment, Jeff. Please enlighten us.
So in 1997, Dean Radin at the Institute of Noetic Sciences in Petaluma, California, worked on this really interesting experiment. What he was trying to do was show that human beings not only can perceive danger before it happens, like really precognition was what he was exploring. And so what he did was he set up an experiment where he had a computer monitor, and there were a series of 120 images that would be shown at random. The test subjects would be wired up so they could measure things like heart rate, skin tension, and so on, pretty simple stuff. And then the computer would start to show images. Some of the images were neutral, like a flower or something like that. Some would be emotionally charged. It could show a violent scene, a sexually charged scene, or something like that. What he was discovering is that the body was starting to physiologically react up to a second or two before the emotionally charged image would appear. Now, that's incredible. It begs the question, if our body could react 1 to 3 seconds before something happened, could it react an hour before? Could it react a week before, and so on? Now, I can understand how this would serve us. You know, if you're walking in a dangerous alleyway or in a jungle and you sense danger before it happens, your body's ready for fight or flight, you have the best chance of survival. If you're sensing danger an hour from now, that doesn't help you much, right? Because you don't know where the danger will be. It's too far,
right.
Too far away. But it's still, when needed, our consciousness is able to perceive into the future, to be that running back that arrives on the goal line before it left. That is incredible. And so I think some of these time slip experiences that people have gone through are related entirely to their consciousness. Their consciousness is making a journey that's happening faster than light. And it's happening, you know, the consciousness, as to the best of our knowledge, has no mass to it. So the consciousness is moving faster than light and perceiving the past, perceiving alternate presence, and perceiving the future. That, to me, is the key to unraveling this thing.
Do you believe that time travel has taken place? the conventional method that somebody has gone back or forward in time from a fixed point.
Here's what it comes down to, Dave. If you believe in a singular timeline, like Sir Isaac Newton, then time travel isn't for you. If you can grasp the idea of a multiverse, the idea that there are many, many, many versions of all of us out there, maybe just slightly different in these various versions, and that sometimes these multiverses, if you think of them almost like a bunch of soap bubbles, sometimes colliding into each other, and maybe we see that side of it, they see our side of it for just a moment before the bubbles then, you know, disperse again and go in different directions, then I feel like we can start to grasp the idea of time travel. And this gets into some of the paradoxes, the most famous being the grandfather paradox. If you go back in time and you kill your grandfather before he ever had children, what would happen? That is one of the big paradoxes that people explain, one of the reasons that time travel must be impossible, because if you could go back in time and do that, then you would undo yourself. But you were born, which means you didn't go back and do it, and so on. These things get to be mind-bending. Of course, there's another theory that suggests you can go back in time, you can kill your grandfather before he ever had children, and it wouldn't affect you at all. It would simply create another universe, another version right there that splits at that moment where you were never born, you never existed, and then the version where you were born and did exist, that's unchanged. Which is why the idea of going back and trying to undo something to try to save a life, to try to say, you know, get a message to someone we care about, to me, I think it's possible, but I don't think it would affect the timeline we're on now. And that's the thing that really I think people struggle with. Can we change the past? Would you even want to? Should you? These are really big questions. We're getting into like the realm of God now.
You know, this then kind of folds into this Mandela effect, where people remember Mandela dying years ago, or in my case, I remember when Kirk Douglas suffered a massive stroke, and then I remember within a year or two, he passed away, and I remember the press conference, I remember Michael Douglas, I even remember the suit he wore, and he was talking about his father and his father's achievements, yet I think he just turned 100 years old recently, Kirk Douglas.
Right.
And there are many listeners from around the world that have the exact vivid memory, and they've emailed me without me telling all the specifics, and many from around the world have emailed me the exact same story, the exact same ideas and thoughts, the outfits that were worn, the things that were said, and I sit there and I think, what is this effect? Is it truly just a mass phenomena of mistaking or misunderstanding? Was there maybe a misrepresentation at that time that Kirk Douglas had passed away, and we, you know, mistook that for something else? It's so hard to wrap your head around it and get a real effect for that. But it does seem like there are subtle changes in time that are taking place around us all the time.
I believe that too, Dave. And I think that one of the things we have to realize is just how uncertain everything is. For example, the future. Yes, we can worry about it. Sure, we should plan for it. But it is completely unknown. We have to accept that. There could be a giant asteroid heading our way right now, and it's all over. It doesn't matter what plans you had next week, because it's over in a few minutes. That is a possible outcome. The past also is uncertain. If you know, sure, we know what we did a few minutes ago, we know what we did earlier today, but the further back in time you go, your memory is fallible. You don't quite remember all the details, and our brain fills it in. I also believe that we are a communal group of people, us humans, and I think that some of that consciousness, we can't help but tap into some collective kind of thing that's going on. And so if enough people get an idea, you know, geez, one of the things we've learned recently is how fast false news can spread, especially on social media.
Right.
Whether it's the rumor of a celebrity death or something else, it doesn't matter. It can spread quite quickly to the point where some people don't question it. They saw it on their Facebook feed or on their Twitter feed. Must be true. Up it goes into the old memory, and then it becomes kind of blurry. And it's one of those things that is happening as we get more interconnected. We're getting
it's like,
more interconnected now than ever.
It's
before.
Like the false memory we share now of many people believing that a reality TV star became the president of the United States.
Right,
Wait, that's
anything's
real? That
possible.
happened? Oh man.
That happened. That happened.
If
And
we've
that's
got this consciousness though, and we've got the idea that it's there, I've often wondered, Jeff, if take one moment in your life, that one thing that you wish you would have done differently. Ask that girl out earlier, or not gotten in that car that day, had that one thing changed, and how many nights you've laid awake at night with that nagging at your consciousness, thinking, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And then you remember back to that moment, how you could hear this alarm screaming in your head. And I often wonder if time travel, as we've pontificated, may be more possible through, or theoretic through, consciousness as opposed to physicality. I wonder if our minds send back messages when we get that screaming, nagging voice. Is it our conscious, is it our Jiminy Cricket, our mind telling us not to do this, or is it our future selves imploring us to take the road not traveled, to take a different junction? And I
I
wonder
think
if
that's a great point.
I wonder if in those cases, if we started taking that road and that effect, how would that affect our futures? And would we, in effect, be changing and manipulating time and history around us?
You're absolutely right, Dave. But one of the things, too, is if you think about mistakes we've made, or like you said, the girl you didn't ask out. Well, that could have been a real disaster if you did ask her out. You don't know that. It's completely unknown and unwritten. You can just wonder. I think one of the things we have to consider is that every mistake we've ever made, though it seems like, boy, it would be great if I could go back and take that one back or fix this one mistake or save a life, right? Tell someone, hey, don't get in that car. You're going to get in an accident. Go get tested. You have cancer, or you're going to find out in a few years you have cancer. These kinds of things are very easy to say. But the reality is, we are made up of every moment of our lives. I truly believe this. I believe that who you are today, right this instant, is a complete summation of every second of your life, leading from birth to this moment right now. And some people had big impacts on your life, parents, so on, your mom, of course, close friends. Some people have teeny tiny ones, the person that served you coffee 2 weeks ago and just gave you a smile or maybe a sneer, whatever it was. We are a total sum of those moments. And if you change any of them, you change who you are. And maybe not for the better. We don't know. We can't see that far. It's a chess game. It's difficult to see what would happen if we made those changes. That's one of the things I struggle with. And this is where it gets really complex when you start thinking there's another school of thought that, let's say you can go back and successfully alter time. We probably wouldn't notice it. So if someone went back right now and saved someone who, had originally died, the moment that's done, our memory gets rewritten with that fact. That's one of the theories, anyway. It's difficult to know for certain. But one of the theories is that, okay, let's say you go back in time and you kill Hitler when he's an adolescent, as opposed to before he ever got into power. The second that deed is done, our brains would have never known Hitler. Wild, right? The knowledge that we knew from school books and documentary films and so on growing up suddenly disappears, and we are not even aware that it's gone because the timeline has been manipulated and we're unaware of it. This is one of the crazy things. Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest minds alive today, has put forth something he calls the chronology projection conjecture. The idea that time travel into the past might be possible, but the universe won't allow it because it would just make a mess of things. Which is interesting because Hawking is a atheist, really, and that conjecture is kind of implying that, sure, it's possible, but really you'd have to say God won't allow it, right? That's what the conjecture is almost implying. Now, time travel in the future, that doesn't mess anything up. If you go forward into the future and kill somebody, I mean, you're kind of a bad person for doing so, but that won't affect the timeline because it's a future event. The
It's something that
past, though,
hasn't been
that's the thing they
necessarily,
wanted.
right? It's not something that's a fixed point in time or written. Again, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff. That's what we're talking about tonight. When we come back, we'll hear a couple of examples of strange time travel and time slips, and we'll take your calls with our guest, Jeff Belanger. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. If you'd like more information about our guest, Jeff Belanger, check out his website, ghostvillage.com, one of the most comprehensive resources for all things paranormal. And while you're there, check out A Way to Measure Time. His new 2017 Haunted New England Wall Calendar is out right now. There's information about that on his website. You can also find information there about his climb of Mount Kilimanjaro he'll be doing in March of 2017 to benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and helping to raise money for people in need of drastic measures to save their lives. So check out all that information again at ghostvillage.com and you'll find all the updates, links, and info there. And if you like what you're hearing on tonight's show and you've missed part of it, it's very easy to catch up. All you have to do is go to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider. It's a one-year subscription, and you will be able to get signed up for just 15 cents a day. It'll give you access to all of the past archives for the last 5 years and so much more exclusive content. Check that out for yourselves. And with time right around the future here of holidays coming up, you've got Christmas, New Year's, and Valentine's right around the corner. Stop being single. Stop waiting for life to come to you. Make that change and become part of your own future planner. You can sign up for ParanormalDate.com. George Norrie's put it all together so you can find people that love the topics here on Coast to Coast AM and maybe find the love of your life or your best friend. Go check out ParanormalDate.com. Sign up now, over 50,000 members strong. You may just find the love of your life on ParanormalDate.com. All right, Jeff, real quickly, before we go to the calls, I would love to hear an example or two of some of the time slips and time travel examples that people have shared with you.
So there was a gentleman in Colorado who was telling me a story about how he and his wife had just closed on a house. And they went to a historic bar in town that dates back to the 1870s, roughly. And they were going to go there for dinner to kind of celebrate the closing. And he said he walked up to the bar and the entrance to the restaurant. He opens the door for his wife, who walks through first. He walks in right behind her, and suddenly she's gone. And he says he looks around the room, and he notices there's nothing modern. There's no electric lights, no television, no neon, no nothing. And he said he sees a guy sitting at a piano, but he's not playing. And this guy's a kind of a gun aficionado and collector. And he saw a gentleman sitting at the bar with a sidearm that he recognized as something that would date back to the 1880s, this particular pistol. He said the guy at the bar turned around, looked at him, gave him a look that's just kind of like, do I know you? No, I don't. No big deal. Went back to his drink. He said it felt like 30, 40 seconds, but in reality, he said it must have been really more like under 5 seconds. It was just step in and to take all this in going, what the heck just happened? And then as soon as it began, it was over. The whole scene disappeared in front of him. There's the modern bar, the television on the wall, the electric lights, there's his wife, and he looks at her and says, oh my God, this thing just happened. I wasn't here. I was here, but it wasn't now. And she pulled out a notepad and a piece of paper and said, write it all down. And she did. He did. He wrote it down right at the table. He sent me a scan of it and everything as we talked about his experience and his story. And he has no idea why it happened. He didn't want it to happen. It's just something that happened. Nothing like that had ever happened to him before or since. And he's not alone. These stories keep coming up. I spoke to another woman who told me she was driving one morning to go to the beach. She had woken up at like 3 a.m. She was a teenager, and she knew she wanted to go down to Gloucester Harbor in Massachusetts. So she gets in her car and she takes the route she's always taken, and she's driving into town, and suddenly nothing looks familiar. And she said, this is crazy, because she's been here, you know, so many times her whole life, but nothing looks familiar. And as she gets into town, there's the buildings, and she realizes, wait a minute, there's no other cars. And I don't mean there's no other cars at 3 a.m. driving. There's just no other cars. There's none parked. There's none in driveways. There's no driveways. Just these old, weird buildings. No, nothing modern at all. And she says, I must be clearly lost. So she stops. She turns the car around. She goes back out to the highway thinking, I've got to retrace my steps because something's clearly wrong here. She gets back to the highway the way she's always gone. She stops and comes back again. And she said, no, I didn't make any wrong turns. But this time when she returns, the town is as it should be, with modern street lights and cars parked along the side of the road and so on. And all she can think of is she must have driven somehow into Old Gloucester sometime in the latter half of the 1800s before there would have been cars there. And she doesn't know why. and she was of sound mind and body, no drugs, no alcohol, no nothing. Just this thing happened. Dave, it's happening to people again and again, and I keep hearing from more folks that have gone through something similar, and that really fascinates me. It's different than the ghost experience. It's different than any other paranormal encounter. Time slip is the only label I can come up to describe it.
Real quickly, an email from Kent from Norfolk. He says, perhaps if we travel forward or backward in time, we wouldn't be able to change anything because our bodies and energy would be on a different vibrational frequency than the inhabitants of that particular time period. Thus, we'd be invisible and our actions would prove ineffective. And that may be, Kent, what we are experiencing when it comes to ghosts. You know, one of the more fascinating stories I heard, the guy, his grandparents built this house. It was a cornfield. It wasn't ancient Indian burial grounds. There was no Mayan temples buried. It was just a cornfield that his grandparents bought and built a house there. Nobody died there. Nothing traumatic happened. One day, grandma was watching Jeopardy, and in walked three shadowy figures into the living room. They look at her and turn and run out of the room. Now, grandma's house is effectively haunted, and this story is passed down. Well, grandma passes away, and a few years later, the grandson and two of his friends walk into the living room, and lo and behold, there in grandma's chair is the visage of grandma, appearing to be watching TV. She looks up and notices them. They freak out and turn around and run out of the room. And at that moment, who is haunting who? Was grandma seeing a
Right.
flash from the future? Were they seeing a flash from the past? Is time all happening at once? And sometimes there's a flicker and a reflection through time that allows us to see through these thin veils. Fascinating stuff. Great stories. And we want to hear some of your stories when we return. We've got phone lines lighting up, Jeff Belanger. We'll be back with those here on Coast to Coast AM. Back, and it's time for your phone calls. If you have questions for our guest, Jeff Belanger, or time slip phenomena stories yourself, we'd love to hear from you. So let's try to get through as many calls as we can in the next 20 minutes here, Jeff. Wildcard, line one, Rock from Washington State. Welcome to the show. What did you want to chat about?
Thanks for taking my call. Awesome show tonight. I was going to say, I think my theory as far as time, I think it's like the string theory, where it vibrates at a certain frequency, and every now and then that frequency on certain parts of the line come together at the right frequency, and that's how you end up having, you know, you could pass through time, and it's not, maybe not time and space, but you're passing on to the other timeline. You know, I think that's where a lot of our people end up disappearing and stuff like that. It hits that frequency, and they end up on the other side. They don't know how to get back. Once the frequency changes, they can't get back.
All right, Rock, thank you very much. Interesting philosophy on that as well. Wildcard, line three, Brenda in New Mexico. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Thanks, Dave and Jeff. What a great show tonight.
Thank you.
I actually think that this phenomenon might be more common than thought of if we put it in the context of deja vu. How many people have experienced that? And so how would that play into, I've been here before, I've had this happen, it was that a dream, was that reality? So what would your take on that be?
That's a great question. Deja vu is one of the things that I've been looking into. You know, in French it means already seen. And I think when you go through something like that, it does get that sense. You feel like you're in a familiar place, even though you know, well, wait, this is the first time I'm here, but I've been here before. It makes me wonder, has our consciousness projected ourselves there before we actually got there? And maybe it was just seconds earlier and then stored it as a memory, or did we kind of peer into some alternate timeline for a second, you know, just kind of bump into it and experience what that might look like just slightly differently, you know, just the tiniest detail that's different from right now. I don't know, but I do think there is definitely something to deja vu and time slips. I think we're talking about the same parts of the brain, the same parts of consciousness that's allowing one person to think, wow, I've been here before, and another person to maybe perceive an entirely different part of the timeline.
All right, Brenda, thank you very much for calling in. Wild card, line four, Dwayne in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, partner. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to make mention that the physics trilogy says that we cannot escape time. the trilogy is E equals MC2, M equals E divided by C2, and the last is C3 equals E divided by M. The first two describe creation. And in the first, I'm trying to say two things at once. The divisor for mass is that of the value of C2, and the multiplier is the same. And what this is stating is that mass and energy are variables, but the constant C2 is not a variable, and that describes what we are formed of, and everything in our universe is composed of the value of the speed of light. And I don't know how far you want to go into that, but anyway, that's my comment.
Thank you, Duane. We appreciate that. I don't know, did you have a thought on that, Jeff?
Well, sure. You know, Einstein's theory of relativity is really, for me, it's the foundation of time travel. He's the father of time travel. The idea that you can dilate it, you can move. But the thing is, speed of light is thought to be constant for the longest time. But in more modern physics, we're learning that not necessarily. Light can bend, especially when it comes in contact with something, you know, supermassive like a black hole. So that if it bends, it's not moving in a straight line. It will naturally have to slow down just a little bit. So it throws a tiny bit of a haywire into what we thought was a constant before. There's still so much to know. There's so much that's unknown, and we're still at the very early stages of this this, you know, incredible pioneering work.
I think the other issue we would have, and why a physical time travel like a machine, you know, the TARDIS or the Wayback Machine, Time Machine from H.G. Wells, I think the problem that we would run into with that as well is that we're taking for granted that when we set the Wayback Machine to go there, you know, whether it's a standalone unit itself, the problem would be we'd also have to break through the gravitational pull because the Earth, the planet would not be where we are right now 20 years ago, 5 years ago. It's constantly in a cycle and cyclical turn around the universe, right? So if we time travel, I think that's the other problem we'd have to come up with is the concept of, you know, if you put it there and then boop, put yourself into, you know, December 8th, 1941 and shoot that out there, you may be out in the middle of time and space and no planet to be found because Earth is in a totally different area.
If you're standing at the equator right now, if you and I are on the beach having Mai Tais, we're traveling at over 1,000
I like where this is going. Yeah.
Right. So we're on the beach with Mai Tais, and we're moving at over 1,000 miles an hour. That's just how fast the Earth is spinning. And then it's moving tens of thousands of miles an hour around the sun. And our galaxy is moving hundreds of thousands of miles an hour. I mean, it's just since we started this program almost 2 hours ago, we have moved many, many hundreds of thousands of miles through time and space and are not in the same spot we were just 2 hours ago. So like you said, you'd need to know even where to go. The other problem is if we had a machine, that machine has mass, and accelerating that mass to the speed of light, we're told anyway through physics, would take infinite energy, and we don't have infinite energy. That's one of the big problems with a machine per se. Our consciousness doesn't have that problem. There's no mass. It's just energy itself. But the machine having mass would create an awful lot of drag. That's where people start scratching their heads saying, I don't know how we would move the machine. But not to say that problem won't be solved at some point in the future. I just don't think it'll be in our lifetime.
Let's quickly go to first-time caller line, David in North Carolina. Did you have a quick point or question you wanted to share?
Yeah, I have a story where I believe I encountered somebody from another time period, if you'd be interested in hearing this.
Yes, yeah. Please, go ahead.
About 10 to 15 years ago, I was an avid swing dancer. So, you know, that's music from the 1930s and 40s. And I see a woman there I've never seen before, and I'm going to the dances on a regular basis, taking lessons, et cetera. So I recognize people that are regulars there, but never saw her before, standing by herself, not with anybody. I went over, started dancing with her, She had period clothing on, which, again, is not too unusual. Guys would wear fedoras or women with the bobby socks. But, you know, it's kind of period clothing, but it's not from that era. What I noticed when I was dancing with her was that everything seemed to be totally authentic. The way her hair was done, the gel in her hair, the stitching on the clothing, the belt. It reminded me, like, when I was a preteen in the 1950s, like the way my mother and my older sister would dress, my aunts, etc. And I had like this odd feeling that I'm dancing with somebody from another era. And I know, you know, you could argue maybe this, she was just very good at wearing period clothing, but she would have had to have like somebody from Hollywood to do her up the way she was done. And it's actually stuck with me, or kind of haunted me to this day, where I believe anyway that she wasn't from this era. Like, she went to a swing dance, and she's in the 21st century. So I don't know if you have any comments about it. So I just thought I'd call in and tell you the story.
Wow, that's amazing, David. Thank you for calling in. Jeff, what do you make of a story like that?
Yeah, that's not the first time I've heard something like that. The idea that, a person shows up. But what's interesting to me is that he described her as solid, right? This is not a ghost experience where some wispy thing just kind of floats through. This is a solid person who's there, who interacted with him, and so on. That's really interesting. That's a whole other dimension. And, you know, we've heard stories like that. Think about it, Dave, the Resurrection Mary story.
Right.
Many people have danced with Resurrection Mary at the Willowbrook Ballroom, before it burned down, sadly, this year. That story comes up. And, boy, it does make you wonder. It makes you wonder if something's been projected into reality, if it is a time kind of slip experience, and who's going in what direction. Is it that person coming to the future, or are you slipping to the past just for that moment? Because you want to, because as he said, he's taking lessons. He wants to do this. He's an avid swing dancer, and he wants to project himself into that era. And if it is another era, this is not modern music. This is music from the bygone era. That's really cool. I love it. I think it's a great experience.
We literally have about 2 minutes left. West of the Rockies, Howard in Vancouver, Washington. Did you have a quick comment or story to share? Oh, we lost him. All right, let's go to Wildcard 2, Michael in Cape Cod. Do you have a quick story or question to share? We have about a minute and a half left.
Oh, boy. Thank you for answering, Dave. Hi, Jeff. I've always been enthralled by the perception of time, and I started experimenting with, like, my own back in 2012. A year later, I tried to write a thesis at UMass Dartmouth about it. But I couldn't find any support from the professors on campus. So it's almost like you wrote the ideas down for me, but I'm still interested in writing it for myself.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think there's so much we can still learn from this. And it's something we're all going through, right? We are time traveling right now. We're moving forward at 1 second per second at the moment. But can we change that? And that's the big question. The one thing we're certain of, Dave, is that this instant, this moment right now is real. We're in it. We feel it. We can look a little bit ahead. We can look a little bit behind. But the moment is real. And every moment gives us a chance to do good things, great things, make our lives better, be better people. We don't have to wait for New Year's. It can happen right now.
Great points, great message to leave us with. Jeff Belanger, you can check out his website, ghostvillage.com. You'll find more information there about Jeff, the work that he does. It's a great reference point for anything strange and supernatural. And you can find information there about his historic climb of Mount Kilimanjaro coming up this March 2017. Or if you'd like to make a donation to help him raise money and awareness for the Lymphoma and Leukemia Association, you can go to darknessradio.com, click on that banner, and you'll be able to make a donation. $1, $5, whatever you can afford, go make a difference and help people in need get the cure and the therapy that they desire. When we come back, we've got a very strange encounter with a demonic entity that brought rain into the home. We'll talk about that and more when we return. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.